know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Ding, ding.
Bringing a whole new attitude to your afternoons.
And that's the bottom line.
Check it out.
You know, two dudes talking sports.
Look at me when I'm talking to you.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It's a household name.
There is no other. There is no equal. And all American, they're going to sit.
It's the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show.
That's right. We're coming to you live from the corner of 6th and Market. Beautiful downtown Canton, Ohio. Hall of Fame City looks great today, man. Sunshine and 72 degrees. You probably didn't get much sleep last night because you're up late watching that WNBA draft.
I was watching the WNBA draft, and I'm curious to see, JT, what the numbers are, because last year they had like 550,000 viewers, right? Well, we don't have the TV numbers today, but we do have the jersey selling numbers for Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. They've sold out of her jerseys on Fanatics already less than 24 hours after the draft.
Doesn't surprise me any. I mean, that's one of the reasons why, obviously, it was televised, first of all, because she's larger than life. It's just amazing to me, and they revealed how much she's going to be making, why she wouldn't want to return to college. There's got to be more money somewhere.
Well, I think she'll make a ton in endorsements. Okay, remember that. Think about Shohei Ohtani, right? The reason he took the contract he did with the Dodgers is he makes $45 million off the field. I guarantee you, this year in college, supposedly, she made $3.1 to $3.5 million in NIL endorsements. That will triple now that she's in the WNBA.
You can't compare the two. I mean, he's already been a professional athlete. He was a professional probably in Japan well before he was a member of the Angels. And this was just the biggest contract we've ever seen. For Caitlin Clark to come out of college and take a pay cut doesn't make any sense to me.
Here's what she said last night when being interviewed. She was ready for a new challenge. She knows the best basketball players in the world are in the WNBA. And she spent 4 years, right, in college, which is the normal run of an athlete. But because of the COVID year, she could have come back for another year. But she said, I was ready for a new challenge. Yeah. And so she goes number one overall to Indiana. She gets to play with Aaliyah Boston, who was with South Carolina last year and was the rookie of the year. And they're trying to get Indiana back to the playoffs for the first time, like, in 7 years.
Or could her value have gone down? If that team comes back, comes back next year and she doesn't do what she did this season, I mean, you're never going to be as famous probably in college as she was this year. I mean, that was a historical run, went all the way to the championship game. And I don't know if she'd ever get there again. And who knows? They haven't won one. So maybe it was the right time after all.
Yeah. And like I said, she will make they don't get paid well in the WNBA. It's not just her as a rookie. That's just the league, because the league has not been a money maker. They're hoping with the emergence of Caitlin Clark and you know, the rest of the girls that got drafted, Cameron Brink from Stanford, Camila Cardoso from South Carolina, Angel Reese from LSU. They're hoping that this following, let me rephrase that, this group of girls and the way they were followed in college will translate to the WNBA following as well.
It's never been as popular as it is right now.
Right.
No two ways about that. I mean, the numbers that we saw for the semifinals and the championship game prove the fact that it's as popular as it's ever been, more popular than it's ever been. And if that equates into more people following the WNBA, so be it. Will it happen? That's anyone's call. We'll see.
Well, they're hoping it will. And I know you mentioned this one of the days during Sprinkle, but that championship game, South Carolina, Iowa, okay? The game viewership topped every World Series game since Game 7 in 2019, Major League Baseball. Every NBA Finals game since Game 5 in 2017, okay? Every Daytona 500, boogity, 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 since 2006. How about this? every Masters final since 2001 mm-hmm. and all but four college football games in 2023. So that tells you, you know, the Caitlin Clark effect. And I already saw the TV schedule. They start up in the middle of May, and guess what? ESPN2 is broadcasting Indiana's first game, yeah. and then ABC will have Indiana's second game, so we'll see what the ratings are for those.
WNBA on ABC averaged 627,000 viewers in 2023. They eclipsed that in one game in college hoops. If it equates into the WNBA, then they've got something on their hands, and they've got a hit. And if it doesn't, could be the end of that league. I mean, you saw the money she's getting paid. What is it, like 70-some thousand a year?
Yeah, that's the rookie Ooh. Pay scale. The most she'll make, I think, is in her fourth year, right at about $100,000 in salary, not in bonuses or endorsement money or we'll anything see. Like that, just in salary. Now, if her impact on the league isn't the same as it was in college, then yeah, that leads in. They're talking about expanding from 12 teams to 14 teams. Golden State's getting a team, and somebody else might be getting a team. If it doesn't, then I don't think it ever will. So this is a make-or-break Huge. Time for the WNBA. It really is. And it why is are big. We talking about this? Well, the Guardians played at 11 o'clock yesterday morning, right? Mm-hmm. The Cavaliers are off for the playoffs. The Browns didn't start their OTAs till today. So what was on last night? The WNBA draft. And congratulations to Ohio State's J.C. Sheldon, as she was selected fifth overall in the three-round draft, as she is going to the Dallas Wings is where she will be playing and starting her pro career. So good luck to J.C. Sheldon, and we'll see if this class can impact the WNBA the way it impacted women's college basketball.
Sheldon's the first Buckeye selected in the first round of the draft since Indiana Fever selected Kelsey Mitchell, number two overall pick in 2018, so that is good news. And we had her dad on the show. It's a great story.
Yeah, it is. And he was there last night. I texted, Dwayne. I said, looking good on TV. Best of luck to JC. And her family was there. Her sister was there, which was a great, story. And they brought her sister up with her on stage and everything. So it was a good night for JC Sheldon. And JT, think about it, the Big Ten had two of the top five players selected in the WNBA draft, and they had four go in the first two rounds. So the Big Ten had some very good women's basketball last year.
Well, they should, shouldn't they? Isn't there like 20 teams in the Big Ten now? It's 18, I think it's up to.
There's a lot, yeah. So, so that was what was on last night, so I did watch it. Yeah. And I hit on my first four picks, JT. I was 4-for-4 in my mock draft, and I actually had JC going sixth and Aaliyah Edwards going fifth, and they flip-flopped spots, or I would have went 7-for-7. So I'm studying up. I'm learning my WNBA, baby.
Well, you're going to have to. I mean, if it becomes as popular as we think it might be, it's something we're going to want to cover. I mean, we watched more college hoops women's-wise than we did men's team until they got Diebler in there, and he was the new head coach. I mean, we weren't watching. Yep. We were not following the men's basketball team whatsoever until all of a sudden, boom, they got exciting again, made a run, and almost got into the tournament. Didn't get into the tournament. When's the last time you watched the NIT game? Right. We watched those games.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And then after the draft, I ended up watching the Nike Summit basketball tournament where it was U.S. versus the world with the high school kids.
Boy, you really
and the
were
big
bored.
Name. Yeah, well, there was nothing else on.
Yes, there was. There's always something on. Start videotaping. Start recording Bonanza, man. What the heck's wrong with you?
Bonanza. Little Joe. I wanted to see tomorrow's stars today. Yeah. So I watched that, and the U.S. won by like 20. And the name to remember for next year,
Who?
He's going to Duke.
Of course.
Cooper Flagg. That's his name. Cooper Flagg.
Oh, I saw
this
him.
Kid
He's the
is,
McDonald's All-American?
Oh, dude, he has the all-around game that Duke fans are going to love and Coach Shire is going to absolutely use to the max. Now, I was surprised that Filipowski's leaving Duke for the NBA draft. I thought with him coming back and Cooper Flagg coming in as a freshman, Duke might be the team to beat next year. But Filipowski's leaving for the end. So now it's Cooper Flagg's team at Duke, and he led the way with 19 points and 11 rebounds last night against the world at the Nike Summit.
A couple of things are really interesting, too. There was an article on ESPNtoday.com that said they're in the process of putting together the Olympic team, basketball-wise. And it seems as though LeBron James is going to headline, and it'll be his fourth Olympics. Obviously, Steph Curry and others. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But you also mentioned the fact that no Guardians today because they played a day game. They play again this evening. And I am so spoiled with Guardians baseball over the weekend that every game was played during the day, and yesterday being an 11 o'clock start. Yeah. Where's my baseball? It seems like we haven't played in a week.
I know. It was weird, that start. They win 6-0 yesterday, so you got to wait till 7:10 tonight, 6:30 pregame here on WHBC, and they're going up against the hated Red Sox, and hopefully we could stick it to them one more time and take like three out of four in this series in Beantown.
You got a good chance. You've got Tanner Bibee on the mound tonight for the Guardians, and we'll give you that game pregame right around 6:35 with the first pitch just after 7. They never start right on time, do they?
You know what? Actually, they are usually within 2 minutes of scheduled start time.
That's not weather. On time. That's late.
No, I'm just saying. Unless the weather gets involved with it, you know? So, kudos to the Gardos, man. 11-5, first place. One of the three best records in all of Major League Baseball. Who'd have thunk that? Not me. Guilty as charged. Because I thought, okay, yeah, they got the cupcakes early. But then Twins, Yankees, Red Sox, reality's going to set in. Well, it hasn't. They're 4-2 against the Twins, Yankees, and Red Sox so far this year.
It's early on. I mean, things happen. And it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, last year, it's no different than the hot start that I believe it was the Tampa Bay Rays made. And I don't think they played in the postseason, did they?
They did. They made it as a wild card and lost. Okay. Yeah. The Orioles overtook them for the division, and then they made it as one of the wild card teams that got beat. So, but what we do have tonight is we get back to some normalcy, right? We have Guardians 7-10, and we've got the play-in tournament games in the Western Conference. We've got the, the New Orleans Pelicans hosting the L.A. Lakers, and Golden State is going up against somebody. I forget who they play. So those are the two games tonight.
The Lakers might want to tank that game because they don't want to have to face the Nuggets.
Oh, that's right, because they're – wow, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
If they win tonight, that makes them the 7th seed. They would have to take the 2 seed, Denver Nuggets. They don't want them. They're saying they should tank tonight.
Interesting, kind of like the Cavaliers tanked the other day, so they wouldn't finish second in the Eastern Conference, where they would have to play Philadelphia or Miami more than likely, right? Mm. So I think if you're the Lakers, you got to try and win tonight. There's no – what if somebody gets hurt and then you've got to play a second game, then there's no guarantee.
Kenny,
to make
it's
the
already happened. I mean, Anthony Davis already complaining that he's got back spasms. He may not even play tonight.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if he doesn't go, but he – he's kind
would you
of,
really be surprised? Would you be surprised if Anthony Davis doesn't play in any game? Heck, it could be the finals.
He's fragile. That's a fair assessment of him. You could say he's fragile. LeBron, not so much. I'll tell you this. If there was a bonus for playing all 82 games, LeBron would play all 82 games. But there's not. Load management. 39 years old, that's why he took some of the time off that he did. But come playoff time, and that's the other reason he wants to conserve, he'll be ready to go tonight. And if Anthony Davis plays tonight, I like the Lakers over New Orleans. I think they advance to take on Denver.
Strong finish to the regular season. They won like 13 of their last, 17 games or something like that.
Yeah, and they beat New Orleans head-to-head in the final game of the regular season. I don't know if it meant anything to New Orleans or not, but Zion Williamson did not play well in that game. So this is a big series for Zion Williamson too, right? Talk about being fragile. This guy was always hurt, or he was overweight, or he was hurt because he was overweight. And now here's his opportunity to shine in the postseason going up against the legend LeBron James and company.
Early reports, no injuries reported for the Pelicans. As far as the Lakers are concerned, the big ones. LeBron James, game-time decision with that ankle, which has been bothering him all season long. And, of course, Anthony Davis, game-time decision. He's got back spasms, allegedly.
So we'll see tonight what happens with that game. And, again, when you know, if you're looking for games tonight. I'm pulling it up right now here. The schedule says L.A., New Orleans, 7:30, Golden State, Sacramento, 10 o'clock. I'll be shocked if Sacramento beats Golden State. I that will blow me away. They're capable if they play their best game, but here's the problem with Sacramento. They don't play any defense whatsoever. They just want to outscore you, which is ironic because Mike Brown's calling card as a head coach is defense. Yeah. But I like Golden State, and I like the Lakers tonight.
It's hard to tell in the postseason right now because now all of a sudden teams play some defense to whereas you can't see what they do in the regular season. The only thing I can tell you about Sacramento is I love De'Aaron Fox. I've liked him ever since he was at Kentucky. That dude would look really nice in the wine and gold.
Yeah, well, they're not giving him up, unfortunately, and you're stuck for now with Darius Garland.
Evan Mobley. I don't know. Just thinking out loud.
Well, here's the thing. Keegan Murray, the kid from Iowa they got? I would take Keegan Murray right now over Evan Mobley. I love Keegan Murray and his ability to do a little bit of everything, especially stepping out on the floor and knocking it down. So, you know, for me, what is he, 6'9", 225, and he's that small forward, power forward. I would take him over Evan Mobley 10 times out of 10 in a heartbeat. If they want to make a trade for Evan Mobley, I'll swap you. Forget De'Aaron. I'll give me Keegan Murray, and that basically fills the void of what the Cavaliers don't have. They don't have that small forward, power forward that can stretch the floor.
I go back to this, but you made a great point yesterday about how the Buckeyes played in basketball after the coaching change. And I'm just wondering out loud. I mean, I want to give up on Evan Mobley. I'd like to trade him for somebody a little bit better because we want him to be what we thought he'd be by year three. But what if that happens with a new coach? But then again, can a new coach instill toughness into a guy? Can you make him a better player at this stage of the game? I don't know that you can.
I think you're fair. I think you're fair in assessing that. He's never going to be a tough player. He's going to be a finesse guy. So, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens this postseason. I'm curious to see
here,
too.
It's a different game. It's a different game.
Yep.
You know, they slow it down. They play more of a half-court offense. They play better defense. Let's see if the Cavaliers can tune it up a little bit. You know, they're not as good defensively this season as they've been in the past. I think they're still top 10, but I think they've dropped to, like, 7.
Yeah, and that's not bad. I mean, it's not great, but it's not bad. And you know what? I'll give a little on defense if the offense got better, right? And they did shoot more threes, which we asked them to do. We wanted them to do. But now are they shooting too many threes? Although, what did we hear? Anthony Butch told us, what are the three best shots in basketball right now? Wide open three, layup, and free throw. Well, the Cavaliers suck at shooting free throws.
Right. In Orlando, doesn't guard the three. They just like to clog the paint with their two bigs. So, I mean, it's one of those things that if the Cavaliers get off to a good, fast start against Orlando, they should have their way. If the Cavaliers are making threes, and I look for Max Strus, hopefully you get Sam Merrill back because that's another weapon that you can throw at a team like that because I got news for you. Their backcourt's fantastic. Jalen Suggs is really good, could be all-NBA defensive team. And he's going to probably be guarding Donovan Mitchell. And if Donovan Mitchell doesn't play like he did when he was averaging, 27-some points per game? If it's the 16 points per game Donovan Mitchell, you're going to lose.
Yeah. Well, they'll go as far as Donovan Mitchell takes them. As much as we want to see improvement from, two guys in Darius Garland and Evan Mobley, they're going to go as far as Donovan Mitchell takes them. And he's got to average 30 points a game and be the most dominant player on the floor, whether it's Paolo Banchero or whoever it is from the Orlando Magic. Yeah. You want to get a break in, then we'll come back, take some phone calls. Let's open up the phone lines right now, 330-450-1480. If you're already on the phones, stay right there. We're going to get to you next right here on the Kenny and JT Show.
The Roadman and JT on 1480 WHBC.